This is Talking Clean with Irene, a podcast for anyone like me who wants to kick the toxins out of their life and live a more natural and sustainable lifestyle. Join me as I unpack how to live toxin-free with insights from scientists, doctors, the creators behind those beautiful organic brands we love, and other experts. I'm your host, Irene Falcone. Now, I'm pretty darn good when it comes to clean beauty, but I really struggle with clean eating. Sometimes my definition of a healthy dinner can be a block of chocolate. Now, I'm not sure about your household, but I have relied a fair bit on some good food delivery services over the years, and I'm really trying to change that. So in today's episode, I'm speaking to a fully qualified nutritionist about how we can take those simple steps to help improve our daily eating habits. Seriously, it can be as simple as using a different type of dressing on our lunch and our salads. Steph Lowe is the resident nutritionist at Melrose Health, an Australian range of delicious health food supplements and health foods. Now, these guys have been around since 1979. Also known as the Natural Nutritionist, Steph is an absolute expert in food education and even sports nutrition for athletes. She's published 2 books and a range of ebooks. But today, we're getting down to the basics of healthy eating for anyone who, like me, is a bit overwhelmed by the world of nutrition. And let me tell you, I asked her for 1 tip in this podcast, and ever since I recorded it, I have been doing this every single day. Have a listen. It has completely changed my life. Hi, Steph. Thank you so much for coming on my show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to this.
I can't wait to start talking about all of those beautiful Melrose products. But before we start, I have to ask you, as a nutritionist, can you explain to me how does nutrition affect our everyday lives? Sometimes I find I'm in a really bad mood or I can't sleep and I don't really make the connection. But if I stop and really think, I think, oh, actually, I ate really crappy this week, and that could be the connection there. Can you talk me through that food mood connection?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a really important lesson to learn, because one of the most important decisions that we make multiple times a day is what we put on our plate, you know, what we're putting into our body. Because if we're not choosing really beautiful whole foods, then it can impact our energy, our blood sugar control, our productivity, our cravings, and all the way through to how we sleep towards the end of the day. And so in a more Western built country where we're looking at the food pyramid, unfortunately, it does contain a lot of refined foods. And we need to start to move away from anything that's in a packet or a box and fill our plate with beautiful whole foods. So, you know, they don't actually have a label. They've got one ingredient, like broccoli, for example.
I was just going to say, like broccoli?
just one ingredient. And they, of course, offer us the most nutrient-dense food that can then fuel our busy days. So that's exactly what we've got to be moving towards a more whole food lifestyle for.
Okay, so then what would you say then could be some of the common nutrition mistakes we all make every day without even realizing? Is it just we're not eating whole foods, or do you think there's something else there that we're not thinking about?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. You know, again, we're in a society that defaults to eat carbohydrates. When we're busy, most of the meals that are available are things like, you know, breads and wraps and sushi rolls, or even more refined options like, you know, pastries, for example. And these are mostly carbohydrates. They contain very minimal amounts of protein and healthy fats. And healthy fats are exactly what we need to really keep ourselves satiated and stop things like the energy dips or cravings as the day continues. So we need more proteins and healthy fats on our plate.
Wow. Okay. So let's talk about healthy fats then, because that's a great segue into your beautiful Melrose range of oils. And I am so confused about your oils. I love them. They look amazing in my pantry, but I never know how to use what. I'm Italian, and for me, I just grew up using olive oil for everything. So pouring it on a salad, deep frying, frying, everything in it. But I've recently been reading about those smoke points and, you know, you shouldn't be heating certain oils for certain temperatures. Can you talk us through, I guess, the range of oils that you have and what they're best used for?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's look at olive oil, because that's something that most of us are very familiar with. And it's a beautiful omega-3. So this is our polyunsaturated essential fat that, when we look at the structure of the oil, because it's polyunsaturated, the oil can change under high temperatures. So this is why we really try to look at olive oil being best used as a dressing or heated to approximately 160 degrees. So, of course, you could set your oven to that temperature if you wanted to roast vegetables, but I much prefer to use olive oil to drizzle over salads or as a finishing oil.
So stir fries, for example, should I be using coconut oil?
I think coconut oil is a beautiful oil for really high temperatures. So it's saturated in nature, which means the integrity of the oil isn't impacted by high temperatures. So, of course, at Melrose, we really make sure that it's all sourced from sustainable coconut plantations, which is really important. And it's really great to use to about 170 degrees. But there are, you know, other oils that we'll get to that we love to use for anything like the fry pan, which is hotter again.
So what are they?
I actually personally love to use our ghee. So the ghee is a really beautiful, healthy fat. It's, again, a saturated fat, and it's really great for high temperatures. So we use grass-fed ghee, which really looks at the sustainability again, which I think is a really important purchasing decision. It's made from organic butter until the milk solids separate. So whilst it does contain that initial sort of dairy product, it ends up being really, really low in lactose. So it's also great for anyone that's got a little bit of a sensitivity, but it can be heated to up to 230 degrees. So quite different to things like olive oil. Great for frying, baking, roasting, sautéing, and we use it in our MCT coffee, of course.
Yeah, I use your ghee. Actually, and I'm completely lactose intolerant, and I couldn't understand how I was getting away with using it. I was also kept looking at the label because I keep putting it in the cupboard. Can you talk me through how I don't need to refrigerate it?
Look, you can definitely store it in the pantry, and a lot of people love it because then it stays that really nice consistency to use rather than butter in the fridge, which is rock hard and quite impractical sometimes.
Exactly.
So in a dark pantry, it's fine. It doesn't impact the integrity of the product. And I think that's absolutely based on the structure of the fat. So they're really saturated in nature. So they're not impacted by the environment as much as things like olive oil would be, or flaxseed oil, for example.
Okay, wow. All right, so then I've also got avocado, pumpkin seed oil, sesame oil, and sunflower oil. And I've got the, don't know how to pronounce it, the vegan fish oil. Yeah, what's that called?
Sacha Inchi.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about that a bit later because I really need to understand how that works. But those other oils that I mentioned, are they only for drizzling?
We can look at them individually. So you mentioned avocado oil. I look at that as being quite similar to olive oil in nature because it is that omega-3. So again, it's a fat that isn't saturated in nature. So it is something that we need to manage the temperature of. Interestingly, though, it can be used hotter than olive oil. So we take avocado up to about 200 degrees. So of course you can be cooking with it at medium temperatures, like in the oven. It's also beautiful for salads, dressing, and as a finishing oil.
How on earth do you get the oil out of the avocado? Does it come from the seed or the actual flesh?
It's from the flesh of the avocado. So avocado is a fruit, yeah, and we forget about that. It's cold pressed from the flesh.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's a beautiful oil. I don't think it's something that we default to. Like we're more familiar with things like olive oil, and definitely coconut oil has become super popular in the last 5 years. I'm a really big fan of the Melrose avocado oil. I love making my salad dressings with it just for that variety. And, you know, olive oil can be quite strong in flavor, which in some dressings, or even if you're making like a cashew sour cream, it can be a little bit too strong for something like that. So avocado oil is a really good substitute for recipes like that.
Okay, fantastic. And with the pumpkin seed oil, okay, you can tell me now if this is even worth doing. I've been putting some on a mascara brush and putting it on my eyebrows to try and get my eyebrows and my lashes to grow back. Is that – well, I plucked too many eyebrows. But I heard that that pumpkin seed helps with your hair growth. Is that a myth or is that true? Or do you have to actually consume it?
That's actually a really good question. When we look at the properties of pumpkin, again, it's going to be really high in omega-3s. It does contain omega-6s as well. And it does have some really beautiful anti-inflammatory properties, but we can look at the integrity of our hair with that balance of the omega-3s and the omega-6s. So I'm interested to see how it works for you. I'd also be consuming it as well because you're going to get much more out of it than the small amounts that you'd be putting on your brows, of course.
Well, they haven't grown back yet. That's why I thought, I don't know, I'll keep going for a few more months. But sesame oil you can also put on your body, can't you? Like after it's a very Ayurvedic sort of oil, isn't it? You can put that on after dry body brushing.
Yeah, it's very common in Asian cooking, but in that sort of Middle Eastern sense as well. It's used in cooking, but we do see it used in like massage scenarios as well, like mixed with a little bit of coconut oil, for example, as well. Most people are quite familiar with sesame oil because it's used in things like stir fries. But what I think is important to understand is it actually has quite a low smoke point. So we really only want to heat sesame oil to about 160 degrees. So it's low temperatures or a finishing oil in this case as well.
That's really important to know. I'm going to put all of the smoking points for all of these oils in the show notes as well because it's really important because is it true it can get a bit toxic for your body if you start overcooking these oils?
Yeah, that's the thing. It can go a little bit what we call rancid. So it changes the structure of the oil. So how these fats differ is the bonds of the fats. And if we start to change those, then we lose the health properties. It can actually go in the opposite direction to what we're trying to achieve. So it's not a healthy, that's why it's really important to understand smoke points. And of course, we have all that information available on the products and of course over on melrosehealth.com.au.
Okay, great. Good. That's also really good to know. Okay, so let's get off those oils and talk about MCTs because that's something that I've always wanted to know. What actually is MCT? Because it's not it's coconut oil, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So that's what's really interesting about MCT is if we look at coconut oil by itself, we know it comes from coconuts. That actually contains about 66% of those medium chain triglycerides, which of course is what MCT stands for. So when we're looking at a pure MCT oil, it's just the extraction of the medium chains. So it actually doesn't contain any of the really long chains. It's the medium chain fats which give the MCT oil its very unique properties, which is why people are loving it since it's become more popular in recent years. But it's so great as a natural energy source. You know, we've been relying on these refined carbohydrates for energy and therefore experiencing, you know, the lack of energy, the blood sugar roller coaster, the cravings. And most of us have been living thinking that it's normal to be so tired at 3:30 p.m. and that craving chocolate is just a part of life. But it's not. It's due to choosing the wrong energy source. So MCT can completely change that. It gives you great blood sugar control, really manages your cravings for you, and you'll notice that you have a much greater cognitive function because those fuels are favoured by the brain. So great for your productivity, Irene.
That is exactly what I need, but I don't know what to do with it. So am I putting a teaspoon in my coffee every morning? Is that how am I taking this?
That's where it's become really popular. What I will say with MCT is that it can be a little bit strong on the digestive system if it's not something you have consumed a lot of. So I love that you said a teaspoon because we have to start quite gradual with this oil. So if you see a recipe that calls for like a tablespoon of MCT and you haven't had it before, I would definitely scale that back.
And that will last me all day and I won't need chocolate at 3 o'clock if I have it consistently.
If you balance out the rest of your decisions around your food, especially what you're having for lunch, which of course shapes what that entire afternoon is going to look like, you know, starting your day with that great blood sugar control will have this huge impact on how you feel towards the back end of the day. So absolutely.
Oh, can you tell me then, I've always wanted to know this, what is an ideal lunch to have if I'm just at the office all day and sort of stuck behind a desk? What's the ideal nutritional lunch?
Yeah, I would always start with plants, so looking for where you can get 1 to 2 cups of vegetables in. So that might be some roast vegetables that you've prepared on the weekend, or you can simply run to the supermarket if you're short on time and get a nice bag of kale slaw, for example, which has like your kale and carrot and beetroot. So we're getting lots of colours in there as well for our antioxidants. You need about a palm-sized piece of protein, because that could be simply a can of tuna if you eat fish, or it would be, you know, maybe 1/2 cup of chickpeas if you're more vegetarian or vegan in nature. And this is where we then need to add our healthy fats. So you're looking for about 2 tablespoons in total. So you might do 1 tablespoon of avocado oil. So think low-carb healthy fats with protein for blood sugar control.
That is the best suggestion ever. And isn't that funny that it's so easy just to grab those things and eat them, but I still find myself running across the road for sushi.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you can get 1 roll and then get some sashimi and some edamame and some miso so you can balance out the macronutrients. If you just get sushi rolls, it's very carbohydrate dominant. So you want to pair that with more proteins and more vegetables if possible.
Okay, so let's talk about this vegan oil, the vegan fish oil supplement. Tell me about this oil, and also, even though I'm not vegan, I don't like the taste of fish anyway. So can you tell me what is in this oil that makes it so nutritious?
Yeah, well, it's the highest plant source of omega-3. So it's cold pressed from the seeds and flesh of a specific fruit that we often find in areas surrounding the Amazon River. I agree with you. I think a lot of people find fish to be a little bit too fishy.
Fishy, yeah.
And then if we're vegetarian or vegan, we're not able to rely on that for our omega-3. And omega-3 is so important for hair, skin and nails. It's for balancing our hormones. It's for balancing our blood sugar control and managing our cravings. And it has some really incredible heart health, you know, cardiovascular benefits as well. So I just love that we're able to get the equivalent amount of omega-3 from a plant-based option. And it's got some incredible health properties. Very anti-inflammatory in nature. It's got a fairly low smoke point, so heated to approximately 160 degrees. So again, I love to use it as a dressing on my salad. So going back to that salad we mentioned before, that might be your new lunch, Irene.
It is now.
You can try this as your healthy fats to get you through the afternoon and help with any cravings at around 3:30 or 4 o'clock.
Okay, well, I just think this oil is probably the biggest discovery for vegans ever. This is fantastic. Is this a new discovery, or has it always been around?
I think it's just become more popular more recently. And, you know, vegans have probably known about flaxseed oil forever, but that tends to give us fairly low diversity. And if we look at our overall health goals, and especially when it comes to the health of our gut, our number one goal needs to be food diversity. So that's why we've got so many oils available. It's great that you can, you know, use them in slightly different ways, but of course the diversity is what's great to make sure that we're getting all the nutrients that we need, and of course we're looking after the health of our gut as well.
Okay, great. And so can I talk about, this is the final oil question then. I have your evening primrose oil and I have it in the capsules. Can you actually cook with it and use it on top of your salad as well? Is it more just something that you take as a vitamin, like a supplement? I've always been confused by that one.
Yeah, I think this is definitely more of a supplement form. It is really great. You probably heard of it being more beneficial for hormonal balancing. So it's really great in anyone that's having, you know, issues with their menstrual cycle, or if it's more postmenopausal symptoms. It's really great for managing inflammation.
It's really great for PMT, right?
PMT, yeah, absolutely. But I'd be using that, you know, straight, maybe in a smoothie. I wouldn't look at really cooking with it too much. But, yeah, back to the food version of it, smoothies or even in like your chia pudding can be lovely, or you can simply take it off the spoon.
Okay, yeah, I just take the soft gel capsules because then I can just swallow them and I know they're inside me and I don't have to think about it.
Yeah, I think when it comes to supplements as well, you do what works for you, because there's nothing worse than a supplement graveyard where things go to sit and expire. You need to find a way to make it happen as a daily habit.
Exactly. And can I pierce them or put them on my face as well as a moisturizer?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I thought so.
I love that idea.
Yeah. Okay, great. Okay, good. I've always wanted to know about that with evening primrose oil. So, okay,
what? The skin is the largest organ, so you can really absorb that through the skin into the bloodstream to achieve the benefits, as well as, of course, really ending up with beautiful, soft, shiny skin.
Oh, yeah, that's a good. Well, so would you say then, out of all of your oils, if I was just going to pick one to put as a body moisturiser, and I usually do the coconut oil, but just say I was just sick of the coconut oil, I wanted to try something else, would it be the sesame oil then, or would it be the evening primrose oil?
Oh, you know, I've actually never thought about which would be better. I'd probably say if we were to decide, it would come back to like what you're hoping to achieve. So like if you've got more of a hormonal balance goal, any PMT or hot flushes, then go for the EPO. The sesame oil is more if you're looking to sort of balance your Ayurvedic profile, if you need to look at more omega-3s and 6s. And so, yeah, you might be able to choose that more based on what your personal health goal is.
Okay. And for anyone listening, don't use the fish oil. I made a very bad mistake in the shower where I thought it said omega-3 or whatever on the bottle. I thought, oh, my skin's really dry, and I didn't think, just grabbed it. And I put it all over my body in the shower, yeah. And I thought, something doesn't smell very nice.
No, don't do that again.
No, oh, never again. Okay, so let's move off your oils, because you also have a huge range of green powders and as well, and supplements. Are you able to just take us through your range of your essential reds and your essential greens?
Yeah, these are some of my favorite products. So our essential reds is actually predominantly beetroot powder, which gives us that beautiful color. It does contain berries, so a combination of berries, some prebiotic powder, which is great to feed our gut. But the key ingredient is actually the microalgae that it contains. So this gives it really powerful antioxidant properties, which really then promotes great skin. So I love putting this in my morning smoothie to help my skin health. But then, of course, the berries, the extracts are high in what we call polyphenols. So these really help proper cellular function. And as an antioxidant, they're going to scavenge those free radicals that we're exposed to in our daily life, which tends to, you know, accumulate in that aging process. So we want to offset that with what we put in and on our body. The prebiotics I love, because when we look at the gut, this is a very vogue topic at the moment, as you would know, Irene, mm-hmm. We mostly look at the trillions of bacteria that are in our large intestine. They need food to thrive. So prebiotic fibers are their food. So this is really great to promote a healthy digestive system. So to smoothies, as I mentioned, you can put it in your protein bites. Recently, even, you know, I've released a recipe that is these little gummies that contain the beautiful essential red powder and some gelatin for gut healing as well. And then we've had lots of really creative ways to use this essential reds powder. I've even seen it used in like a gravy. It's quite incredible how versatile it is.
Wow, so it's fine to heat then? It doesn't kill any of the nutrients?
I wouldn't put it on the stove, but once you've sort of made that jus, you can then slightly mix it through.
Fantastic. Oh, so can you tell me then what your favourite smoothie recipe would be? What's the one thing we can all do, I guess, every day? Because we can't use everything. We can't put everything in every day. What would your absolute get up and go smoothie be with a combination of your powders and oils?
I always start with greens, right? Because smoothies can notoriously be too sugary if we go fruit and dates and coconut water. So I always want to think about what greens I'm going to get into that meal. So I often have frozen zucchini, which are great because they act like a banana would, nice and thick, to turn it into more of a thick shape and meal-like in nature.
Yeah, I'm only using the banana because I don't really love bananas for that smoothness. Am I actually peeling the zucchini and chopping it up and freezing it?
Don't even peel it. Just chop it into little small rounds, freeze it, and then grab a big handful and pop that in the blender.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
And then I tend to use one of our nut butters. So at the moment, I'm using the cashew and coconut butter, which is like my little secret addiction. It is delicious. So I put like a big teaspoon of that into the smoothie. And I'm also using a teaspoon of MCT in this smoothie.
Oh, yes. I'm definitely popping that in now. Yes. Teaspoon of that. Yeah.
I use a teaspoon of the essential reds. And I also put in a cup of frozen berries to get more antioxidants, a little bit of sweetness without too much sugar, because berries are so great in that they're lovely and sweet, but they're actually very low in sugar. I often also sneak in like a quarter or a half of an avocado. And a lot of people think that's a little bit weird to put into a smoothie, but again, it's giving you all those beautiful omega-3 that we've been discussing. I tend to use water or almond milk to get the blender going, and cinnamon for blood sugar control as well.
Wow, I love that. Okay, that's very different to my smoothie.
Do you use a lot of fruit in yours, like a lot of banana and berries?
I haven't been putting the berries in because I don't like the colour when I mix it with the greens. So I'll do the Melrose greens or really just sometimes I use the Wellco greens or the all-in-one vital greens. I don't really, whatever's in the cupboard, I'm using the greens. That's always my base as well. Then I'll use a protein powder, any protein powder that I have. Then I'll put the frozen bananas in. I'll use the unsweetened almond milk, and sometimes I will put in the chia seeds when I – oh, and I'll put the Love Your Gut powder in as well, and then I blend that up, and that's what I have. And that's what I have every morning, and it's getting really boring. So I'm really excited that you shared your recipe with me because I'm going to start switching over.
You know, we designed our nutrient powders to give you that really convenient way to get the nutrients, antioxidants, vitamins and minerals. So I love that you're using our greens powder. Of course, we've got the essential reds as well. So I'm sure our listeners can pick one to start with and then start to work through the entire range, because we've got, you know, wheatgrass and barley grass and so many more beautiful powders to come as well.
Yeah, actually, I want to just mention as well for anyone listening, your oils are not cheap. And there are a lot of cheap alternatives out there. And oh gosh, like walking down the supermarket and seeing all those oils. Before I let you go, are you able just to talk me through the quality and the difference and what makes your oils so unique compared to all the others on the market?
One of the ethoses behind Melrose is that we always focus on the best raw ingredients to produce products of the highest quality. So especially when it comes to omegas, we have to look at the sustainability aspect as well. So we want to make sure that these products are sourced sustainably, and that's really important for the environment, but also the end result, so how healthy the product actually is for us. So I think that the investment that we make in our food is a huge decision for looking after our health today and tomorrow, so we're not paying for sickness in the future. So I think it's really important that we don't look for the cheapest oils, because they often can be, you know, we were talking about before, rancid, for example. If an omega-3 is not stored properly, it's going to lose its health qualities. And then, of course, we don't want to be using anything else than coconut oil when we're looking at things like coconut and MCT or a coconut oil and grass-fed ghee. We really want to make sure that we're looking after the health of the environment as well as focusing on our own health.
Yeah, in summary, it's quality oils, but also once you've got those quality oils, knowing what the maximum temperature is that you're allowed to cook them at is really important, because you can spend all this money and think you're adding all these beautiful nutrients to your body when actually you can heat them up too much and completely destroy it. And like you said, go back the other way. We don't want that.
Yeah, for sure. Great summary.
Yeah, great. That were the key learnings for me. Thank you.
Pleasure. So nice to chat. I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, bye. Thanks for listening. This podcast is produced by Nourished Life, Australia's home of toxin-free shopping. To learn more and get all the show notes, visit us at nourishedlife.com.au. If you have any feedback about the show, you can reach me on Facebook or Instagram at Nourished Life, which is all one word. Don't forget to subscribe to Talking Clean with Irene in your podcast app. And finally, if you like what you hear, please give me a 5-star review. It really helps other people to find the show. I'm your host, Irene Falcone, and I'll speak to you next time.